What's going on? Welcome to the Eric Allen Show. My name is Eric Allen, and I just want to say thank you so much to every single listener out there who has listened to a show, that has shared the show, retweeted the show, subscribed to the show. Thank you. I appreciate you. It's been so much fun interviewing folks since 2017 and interviewing over 500 people, from MMA fighters to the most successful entrepreneurs in the world. Over the last couple of months, I felt like God's been putting on my heart to change the focus of this show. So moving forward, I'm going to talk with Christian men and how do they balance their life of following Jesus and being a husband and being a father. Maybe they're an entrepreneur, maybe they're a W-2 employee, but how do you balance all those things? And then for me, I'm a first-generation Christian. So I want to ask the question, how do we as first-generation Christians raise second-generation Christians when they didn't go through the adversity that we did as kids? I'm really excited to have this new focus of the show, because me being in my mid-40s and having these questions myself, but wanting to connect with other Christian men and hear their stories and share their stories about Jesus, that's what's on my heart. And I get that I might lose some listeners and I might lose some subscribers, but I truly believe that this new focus will make the biggest impact yet. And I'm so excited to start this new focus off with telling my own story. I recently spoke at an amazing event called the Conscious Investor Growth Summit, and it's put on by an amazing lady by the name of Julie Holly. You got to go check her out and make sure that you follow her page and the Conscious Investor Growth Summit page. So over the next 20 to 25 minutes, you're going to hear me giving a talk that I gave in March of 2024, where I talked about using our mindset to overcome challenges and realizing that our past and other people's opinions of us does not define our future. And the moment that you realize that, that's when you can step into your purpose and you can start making an impact. Hey, this is a quick shout out from one of our awesome sponsors. Check this out. Thank you to Tracy down at Tranquil Turn Massage in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Look, my wife and I, we see Tracy and her team every single month for a couples massage, and it is the best thing. Tracy is a master massage specialist and a Hanu Ashiatsu trainer. You need to reach out to Tracy and her team. Make sure that you tell them that I sent you and you'll get $25 off your next massage. Also, while you're there, check out CDA Brows, Body, and Ink. Make sure to tell Tracy that I sent you and you'll save $100 on your next tattoo, brows, and plasma tightening services.
So without further ado, I'd like to welcome our special guest and next speaker, Eric Allen.
Anyone recognize that song that just played? It's a song called Tennessee, Arrested Development. Yes. That was the very first CD that I ever owned. My dad bought me this 5-disc changer, had the 5 discs on top, the dual cassettes on the bottom, big speakers on the side, right? I wore that album out. I mean, I listened to it over and over again. Yes. The interesting thing about that album, though, it's called 3 years, 5 months, and 2 days in the life of. That is a strange album name. But see, that reflects the relentless pursuit towards success. It took them that long to secure a record deal. I mean, talk about not quitting. Now, I later got to speak with Speech, the lead singer of Arrested Development, on my podcast. It was super surreal for me to be like chatting with this guy and talking about that journey. See, little did they know, when that album finally came out, it would sell millions and millions of copies. Now, we've all had to overcome things in life, and we've all had setbacks. And the way that you overcome that is with the power of mindset. And that's exactly why we're here today. So I'm going to talk to you about using the power mindset, and then I'm going to give you 3 actionable steps that you can implement today to get closer to your goals, your dreams, and your purpose. Let's consider the Chinese bamboo. Man, that thing takes 5 years of consistent watering every single day before it even breaks to the ground. But once it breaks to the ground, in 5 months, it jumps to a staggering 90 feet tall. How many of us are fighting for our goals, our dreams, and our purpose every single day, watering them with this unwavering determination, no matter how long it takes? So when you're fighting for your goals, your dreams, and your purpose, You got to have a 3 years, 5 months, and 2 days in the life of mentality. Now, before I jump into the power mindset, I'm going to share a little bit of my story. I had to overcome a few things. Maybe some of you have had to overcome a few things. But I truly believe that we are here at the right place, at the right time, right now. I grew up in a place called Kennewick, Washington, about 3 hours from here. I thought I had a typical childhood. Went to Sunday school, played Little League. My dad would take my best friend Dave and I and chuck us in dumpsters on Saturday morning and say, go find treasure. Anyone else do dumpster diving? Good, okay, not just me then. Okay, good. My parents got divorced when I was 11 years old. My mom immediately got together with a man who was very physically abusive. There was moments, they'd be fighting, and I'd come up to the back window, and I'd look through. And this man would be hitting my mom with a cordless phone. I'd call the police, they'd come, my mom would never press charges. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. I never understood why she could stay with this man, choose him over her kids, right? And then they did the smart thing, they got pregnant. And they decided to move us from Kennewick, Washington to Stevensville, Montana. Population, about 1,200 people at that time. And they rented this house. It was on 5 acres. It was a beautiful property. Big ponds, huge open field, right by the Bitterroot River. The problem was this house had 3 bedrooms. There was one for them, one for my little brother who's a couple months old, and one for my sister who's 4 years younger than me. They said, Eric, you can live in the garage. I had this plastic tarp in the middle of the garage that separated my bed from the truck that would pull in. Now, luckily, my half of the fireplace, or my half of the garage had a fireplace in it. So it'd keep me semi-warm in the middle of those winter months. But about 1, 2, 3 a.m., when that fire went out, it got cold. I mean, I could see my breath, right? Didn't matter how many layers of blankets I had on. But there was a moment when I was about 13, 14 years old that changed the trajectory of my life forever. They came home arguing one night. Wasn't anything different than any other night. But I remember brushing my teeth. And as I was brushing my teeth, I feel God go, dude, you got to look around this corner. So the way the house is set up, is I peek down this way, and it goes to the kitchen, to the pantry, to the garage door my bedroom's at. And in that pantry, this man is on top of my mom. Boom, boom, boom. I got about 20 seconds of courage in that moment. And I walked up behind him, and I grabbed a cast iron pan, and I swung as hard as I could. And I split the back of his head open. And he turned around, he said, what the? And I smacked him again in the forehead. I swung so hard the second time I fell over. And I remember him standing up over me, and he was yelling, he's screaming. My mom jumps up like Mama Bear, like punches him in the face a bunch of times. There's blood splatting on the wall. I mean, this is a crazy movie scene. Cops show up, take him to jail. My mom doesn't press charges. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. I thought I was the hero in that moment. Turns out that would not be the case, though. Flash forward a little bit of time. We had 3 months left in my freshman year of high school. Got kicked out of the house. I had to go stay with my buddy Forrest at his dad's house, and they had hardwood floors. So I slept on those floors, finished out my freshman year of high school, and moved back to live with my dad in Kennewick, Washington for my sophomore through senior year. Now, my dad, he rented a house for him and I. Got a bus pass, so I could get around town, get to school. He put Hungry Man meals in the freezer, cereal milk in the house, made sure I had food. Put a cup in the living room and he put $20 in that cup. That was my lunch money for the week. Most of the time, that money went to drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes, though. My dad, he would stay the night at his girlfriend's house most nights. So I'd see him maybe 2 to 3 times a month in passing. It gave me a lot of freedom to do whatever the heck I wanted. So I was getting stoned before school. I was getting stoned at lunch. I was getting stoned after school. I mean, me and my group of buddies, we frequently took mushrooms, acid, hash, opium, Robitussin DM because it was half the price of a hit of acid. We were what you would call stoners in school, right? Now, I was 18 years old. As a senior, we went on a camping trip, and I was the kid who brought the bong. Really funny, if you walk around downtown Spokane right now, you can see people walking around with bongs, and they are totally fine. But in 1998, when I was a senior, it was illegal. I had to go to jail in Dayton, Washington. Now, Dayton, Washington is an old school jail. I mean, black and white chain gang outfit, bright orange slipper type of jail. They would bring you the food so that you could see it, you could smell it. You could see the steam coming off it. But then when it got cold, they'd slide it into the cell for you. That's my mugshot. I was 145 pounds. The only thing that I was able to bring to jail with me was a Bible. I didn't know God at this time, but I thought two things would happen. If I brought this Bible in, one, God would forgive me, and two, God would keep me safe. I walked in that jail. It was an open cell, like 15 people. By far, I had the least bit of crime in there, right? I was scared. And I sat down at the table, and I just opened the Bible, and I started reading from Genesis 1. I didn't know where else to start. And now, luckily, I didn't have a cellmate in my cell for night, right? Didn't sleep much. Didn't learn my lesson, though. Got out, went right back to doing the same thing. 2 weeks after I graduated high school, I woke up to a post-it note on the bathroom mirror from my dad that said, "You can't comply with house rules. You have 48 hours to get out." So between the ages of 18 and 21, I moved 21 times. I was living off a couch here, a couch there. Couldn't hold a job longer than 3 months. Now, one of those moves was to Seattle, Washington. I had $100 in my pocket, and I stuffed my Honda Accord with as much stuff as I could, and I hit the road. Eventually, I would end up living with a guy named Mr. Sexy. He was a regional wrestler, and it was awesome. We had a wrestling ring in the backyard and everything. But when I was 21 years old, I was $28,000 in debt from all the credit cards I'd racked up, and I had to file bankruptcy. But then, I landed my dream job with Universal Records. I don't know how to sing. I don't know how to do music. I had to lie to get the job, but that's a whole other story. But I was their mailroom guy, and I was pumped, man. I got to stuff posters. I was tracking sales. I was doing meet and greets, and I got to go to 2 to 3 concerts a week for free and have an open tab, which is definitely not good if you're addicted to drugs and alcohol. I was living a rock star lifestyle without being a rock star. Occasionally, they would have me put on a chicken suit and pass out CDs in the ghetto just because I was the bottom guy on the totem pole. That really sucked, but it was part of the job, I guess. My 1 year anniversary, I got laid off because of a thing called Napster. Who downloaded music using Napster? Thank you for helping me to lose my job. I appreciate you. I started working for Starbucks as a night manager, and I would get off work and I would go to the grocery store, get a 6-pack of beer. I'll just turn that off there. Not quite there yet. Sorry. Get a 6-pack of beer, go to Hollywood Video, get a DVD, and then I'd go to my ghetto apartment in Renton, Washington, across the street from where Jimi Hendrix was buried. And I would drink myself to sleep every night. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Then one night, while I was working at Starbucks, a girl walked in, and we were chatting, and she invited me to a church event. I was depressed, I had no friends, and she was good looking. Yep, what time do I need to be there? And I went to that event, and that was the moment that I realized that God had been protecting me my entire life. I mean, I should have been dead many times from the stupid stuff that I've done. I've had a gun pointed at my head twice. I'm 44 years old, I've never had a stitch, I've never broken a bone, I've never even had a cavity. He's been protecting me my whole life. Right? So I hear that every time I go to the dentist. But I wasn't ready to give up my worldly lifestyle yet. A month later, it was Easter 2004. I went out and I partied with buddies. I woke up Easter morning. I do not think it was a coincidence that it was Easter. But I felt God in that moment say, dude, you're going down a path that's going to end your life if you don't start making some changes. And in that moment, in my buddy's basement, I gave my life to Jesus. And I quit cold turkey. Drugs, drinking, cigarettes, everything in that moment. And I called that girl up. And I got her voicemail. I said, man, thank you for inviting me to church. Maybe I'll see at the store sometime. 11 months later, we were married. And we're celebrating 19 years of being married this month. And we're breaking the chains of divorce, abuse, addiction, and rejection. Okay? We are changing the legacy for our kids. They will never have to experience the childhood that I had. See, there's a plan and a purpose for everybody's life in here. We just have to find it. We have to know that we are created for more. We have to understand that our past and other people's opinions of us does not define our future. But I didn't believe that I deserved a great family or a great life or success or money. So how did I get over that? I prayed a lot. I booger cried a lot. And then I changed the environment. See, I found men that were living in, that were going to church. They had great walks with Christ. Man, they're great dads. They're great husbands, great entrepreneurs, great employees. And I would take them out to Starbucks. This is way pre-podcast days. And I'd sit them down and I'd say, tell me what you're doing to live the life that you are right now, because that's what I want. And number three, I have an amazing wife. She gave me so much mercy and so much grace and so much support. She's my hero. I wouldn't be here without her. She homeschools my kids. She works 10 times harder than me. I mean, everyone that she talks to, she just lights up with a smile. She's amazing. And then I had to become a quitter. I had to quit thinking that I didn't deserve a great family. I had to quit thinking that I didn't deserve a beautiful wife. I had to quit thinking that I didn't deserve success. I had to quit quitting because everything that I started up in my life to that point, when it got tough or I got setbacks or I got haters, I quit. So when it comes to purpose, how do you find it? See, mindset, you have two choices. You can have this victim mindset where you just expect everything to go wrong and just deal with it. Or you can have this overcomer mindset where you know that not everything is going to be smooth. You know you're going to run into challenges, but you have the power in your mindset to overcome them and learn from those challenges. Right? I interviewed Ed Milet on my podcast. Super cool. I won a competition out of 1 million people, and I won, and I got to have a conversation with him. And that conversation changed my mind. He told me about an acronym called CANI, Constant and Never-Ending Improvement. Now, Tony Robbins also mentions that in Awaken the Giant Within. I'm pretty sure Ed stole it from him. But they're both cool dudes. But I always want to be improving as a father, as a husband, as a friend, as a podcaster, as a speaker. When it comes to mindset, how do you figure out what your purpose is? As you're embarking on this journey to find your purpose, you're going to run into people that are going to try to talk you out of your purpose because they lack your vision. They don't have the same vision as you. And the question is, are you going to allow them to sway you away, or are you going to fuel your fiery passion towards your purpose and step into it no matter how long it takes? Mark Batterson. He's the author of In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. It's an amazing book with a crazy title. The follow-up is Chase the Lion. And he says, God is in the business of strategically placing us at the right place at the right time. I worked that shift at Starbucks. The girl asked me out to church. My wife and I are both born at 1:41 p.m., by the way. Different days, different years, but the exact same minute. Right time at the right place. Let's talk about those three actionable steps that you can take. Number one, it's cliche, but set clear goals. Write them down. Reflect on them as often as you can. Say them out loud, morning, lunch, night. Be so obsessed with your goals that people think you're absolutely crazy. One of my goals is to own 20 plus acres of property. And when you open the office door to my office, right there, there's this picture I have on the wall. And it's this old cowboy, and he's standing next to his dog, and they're looking out over this prairie. You just see their back. It's a beautiful picture. And underneath it, it says, if I can't pee off my front porch, my neighbors are too close. That's what I want. That's what I want, right? Then we got to break down those long-term goals into smaller milestones, because that's what helps build the roadmap to our long-term goals. Then we got to cultivate a growth mindset. Anything negative that comes to your mind, replace it immediately with something positive. Write down daily affirmations. Repeat them over and over and over. Go watch a motivational video. Listen to a podcast. Read a book. We have to understand that the growth mindset fosters the resilience to overcome the setbacks and challenges that are going to come your way. We also have to understand that setbacks and challenges are a natural part of the journey, but they don't get to define your success. Number three, we have to create a positive environment. Develop this habit of gratitude. For me, like I said, I'm 44 years old. It's a goal of mine to wake up every single day. And when I wake up, I open my eyes, I immediately, out loud, I say, thank you, Jesus, for another day to see and hug and hold my family. And that's win number one. My other goal is to make my bed. I jump out of bed, I make my bed. There's two wins in 15 seconds. My brain is fired up. I'm like, woo, let's go. And then we got to change the environment. See, I have found men that were living the life that I wanted in the church. And when you want to change the environment, you have to go surround yourself with people that are living life that you want. But, and there's a big but here, make sure that they're living the life that you want, how you want. And I say that because there's a lot of people who have the property, the money, the girls, whatever it is, but they didn't morally get there. They didn't align with your values. And if that's the case, those aren't your people. When Noah heard from God to build a boat in the middle of the desert, people probably thought that he was crazy. I mean, they were like, dude, there's no flood coming. You're crazy. But here's the thing. God said, bring your wife, bring your sons, and bring their wives. He did not say, bring your coworker, bring your friend, bring your neighbor, and especially bring your in-laws. He didn't say none of that. I think it's very possible the people that were going to be, that were not going to be on that boat, tried to talk him out of his purpose. And I'm so glad that he didn't, man. I'm so glad he didn't. Jeremiah 29 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. Man. How many of you, out of curiosity, have a podcast? Come on. It's the best thing in the world. If you don't have one, create one. Podcasting brings partnerships and collaborations and gifts and trips. And that's cool. But for me, it's legacy. I wish that I could go back 3-4 generations deep and hear my great-grandfather's voice. I wish that I could hear the story from him directly. I can't. I don't get to. But I can do that for my tribe. 3-4 generations deep, they can go back and go, man, great-great-grandpa Eric was a bad mamma jamma that fought for us, that changed the generation forever. I get to do that for my tribe. So we all get to choose the life that we want. If you're in a toxic relationship, a toxic workplace, you got toxic family members, you can choose to stay. Or you can step into your purpose and get away from them and start making an impact. See, do you have a 3 years, 5 months, and 2 days in the life of mentality? Will you claim to be a victim? Or will you claim victory?
Hey, if you've ever thought about starting a podcast but unsure where to go, you need to go check out ericallenmedia.com. Click on the resources tab there. I will walk you through how to start, launch, and run a podcast. I've recorded over 500 interviews since 2017, and I want to help you launch your podcast. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button so you catch every show when I drop them. Thanks again. Keep changing the world.